Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
Say, what's a total waste of time? Spending an entire hour in a gym trying to get in shape. We don't need to do that.
No.
It was years ago where, was it like Abs of Steel or 8-Minute Abs came out, and then another company's like, 8 minutes? That's way too long on your abs. We'll do 7 minutes.
And then another company came out and says, 7?
Yep.
We can get you down to 5.
And then somebody else came out and said, 1 plank is fine.
Yeah.
Kristen is on this plan. and she has solicited my help to try to get a little bit more muscle on her because her doctor is saying, look at you.
Well, so it's not technically my doctor. I went to a wellness facility. I'm actually trying to get to the bottom of this whole UTI situation. And when I walked in and I was getting checked in, they asked if I wanted to do a body analysis. And I was like, yeah, sure. Let's see how bad, you know, all this is.
You didn't look in the mirror and go, I'll give you a body analysis. I look damn good.
I said, <here. laughs> is there a line on there for a hot mess? Because I feel like that's where I am right now with the amount of antibiotics coursing through my veins.
Yeah.
So we did the body analytics, and some of the stuff I understand, some of the stuff I don't. What I really liked about the nurse practitioner, I know Cassie has talked about this on the air, BMI is kind of BS.
It really is.
It's a kind of a flawed, archaic way of figuring out your body fat mass, blah, blah, blah.
It's all body mass index. And it's a very generic chart that says if you're this height, you should be this weight. Yeah. And you just can't do that because it doesn't take in a whole bunch of different things into account. It's ridiculous. But we like things simple. So the government's like, just give them this. That'll be a decent guide.
So as soon as we go over the body analysis, she's like, we're not even going to pay attention to BMI, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, I like you already because you get that. And then she started going through all this other stuff, and there were 3 lines, and she wanted the second line to be the longest, which is strength, muscle mass.
Mm-hmm.
And that currently is the shortest right now. I'm weak.
You're in the negative.
Yes.
It said you had no muscles.
I'm weak. I have some. I carry a toddler around. So I need, what she would like to see is for that line to increase. And she suggested I incorporate strength training into my workouts. I do hot yoga twice a week. And she was like, you know, that's great, but I would like to see, you know, you incorporate some strength training. And she, because this is what I latch on to, because I like the easy way out. She's like, honestly, you know, just your body, your own body weight. It doesn't have to be actually like lifting weights, your own body weight. And 10 minutes a day could actually make a huge difference, or could go a long way to a certain point, and then you'll have to increase. And I was like, 10 minutes a day, my own body weight. Got it. So
there was also another stipulation in there besides 10 minutes.
Well, after we started talking, I asked you, I really don't want to sweat.
And there's the problem.
I don't want to lift. Like, I don't want to have to, like, I don't want to have to buy weights. I don't want to, you started talking about these resistance bands. I'm like, no.
You don't want anything to resist.
I don't want anything to resist. I don't want to have to use anything. I want 10 minutes, easy, preferably not sweating.
You're adorable. All right, so Kristen comes to me because she's taking this very seriously. She didn't think about like going to somebody that she'd have to pay for. And she knows that this is like my hobby right here.
It's your jam, dude. You love this stuff.
Oh, my God. Right. I geek out, right? I can't read a book that's longer than 100 pages, but I have this biohacking book right now, and I'm like 350 pages into it.
Nerd.
This is how I'm a total nerd when it comes to body science. When my labs come back and it's giving me like my blood work, I'll spend 2 hours going through everything and then looking up online exactly what it means and then make an adjustment. This is just what I love. This, if I had a hobby, this would be it. Life. trying to stay out of a coffin.
Trying to live.
Yeah,
that's a good hobby to have.
So Kristen asked me to help her out with a 10-minute non-sweating workout.
It's not a workout.
That's a challenge right there.
Here, it's not a workout. It's just 10 minutes of strength training.
Yeah, and it's a good start for you. I think your doctor's like probably saying do 10 minutes here, and then in a couple of weeks when you realize like that's too easy, you'll bump it up maybe to 15, mm-hmm. and maybe we'll get one bead of sweat, and then maybe we'll go to 2 beads of sweat.
All right. Mean, I can't begin to tell you, it was a beautiful day yesterday, mm-hmm. so I popped Jimmy in the stroller, and we did some serious walking. Granted, I walked to get sushi, but nonetheless, we did some serious walking, and there's this one hill, and we're going up this hill, and I'm pushing the stroller. And I'm starting to sweat. And I was so pissed because I had just taken a shower and I actually blow dried my hair. And I'm like, so help me if I start to sweat, be so mad.
This is so great. Just for comparison, yesterday I hopped on my bike and I biked to the stadium, the Braves Stadium yesterday and back.
Wow.
Okay. So this is a comparison for the two of them.
Yeah. All right? Yeah.
By the way, I did sweat.
Yeah.
Sorry. I did some research for Kristen and I'm looking online for 10-minute workouts with what I've learned over the course of my entire life in a gym. And by God, I couldn't come up with anything myself. Just a 10-minute workout where you don't sweat, right? So
you can't just put it right in front of the AC. You wouldn't sweat, though.
Stand here.
Right here. Don't move.
We had to pump it on last night because it got so hot in the
house. It was beautiful yesterday.
So my favorite workout app is, and this is not, I'm not getting paid for this. This is what I use every single day. It's called Fitbod. And it's a free app, and it is so comprehensive that you enter the muscles that you want to work and for how long you want to work for also. You can also put in there if you have weights, if you're at a gym, if you don't want to use weights also, if you only want to use your body, which is called isometrics. And then you could plug in the amount of time you want to work out also. I use this every single day because the thing I hate is going to a gym and then trying to figure out what I'm going to do on a workout, because then you end up doing the same things over and over and over again. This thing is mindless. It tells you exactly what you got to do, how many times you got to do it, and then it tells you to move on to the next exercise.
So Bert texted me and he's like, hey, download this. And I said, hey, I downloaded it and I signed up. I told it that.
And that right there. It took you probably a minute, so that's only 9 minutes left in your workout.
Sweet. So I downloaded this thing. It asked me, you know, I filled out my profile, and it said available equipment, and I was like, none. I'm in my house. I'm not using anything. Like, it asked me,
Nothing.
I don't even want to walk. I just want to, can you do this 10 minutes in bed?
Well, here's that. Therein lies the problem.
Oh, you have to get out of bed?
A bed option.
I went to go choose the time. It doesn't do anything less than 30.
I have one for 15 minutes.
You do?
Yeah. So
okay, you'll have to show me how to find it, because I tried to schedule like 10 minutes, and it was like, yeah.
Nah.
Nah, girl.
Nah.
You got to go at least 30.
No, here's one for 15.
Okay.
So your first assignment is a pulse lunge. You know how to lunge because you do yoga, right?
Correct.
So it's a little pulse action.
Okay.
I promise you, with the amount it's having you do, you will not break a sweat.
Got it.
Then you're doing an oblique crunch.
Okay. I know how to do those.
You know how to do those. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you're doing an alternating Superman for your lower back. You know what that is? You get on the floor and you just kind of lift your arms up.
Oh,
and
that's
your back.
A yoga pose too.
And it also, this app, I love it so much because it has videos on exactly how to do the exercise So, unfortunately, it's going to take 15 minutes. That's really going to mess you up.
Look at you already jacking me up from 10 to 15.
That's all. I mean, you don't have to follow all of them and saying do 4 sets of obliques. If you wanted to keep it at 10 minutes, you could do 3 sets. But this is a good starter kit for you.
All right. I will go 15 minutes.
You got to stretch, too, so that might buy you a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah. How we start every yoga class.
And the cool down, so then you can subtract a couple more minutes.
There is no cool down. She's not sweating.
She's not hot.
All right, so try it over the weekend, and I think that this is a really good introduction for you because I think you'll go, hey, that was pretty easy.
And I hope there's other people out there who just want to like use their own body weight, just want to start slowly building up some strength, who don't want to sweat.
It's the
non-sweaters unite. Let's do this.
I'm really interested. Come in on Monday and tell me what you think.
I will. I'm going to be honest too.
Yeah, I mean, it's Kristen, it's 10, 15 minutes, and I'm looking at it. If you come in here and you go, that's too tough, I'm saying I can't take the job. All right, find somebody else.
You're going to quit on me.
I'm quitting on you. I'm giving you a warning right now. Monday, we might be over.
The Burt Show.
All right, so Cassie wants to know, is it ever too late in life to change your name? First or last?
First. And it's not a total change, but it would be a shift from what I normally do. So everyone calls me Cassie. That's been my nickname since I was a kid, but my full name is Cassandra. And I really love that name, and I always have. And then it occurred to me recently, I'm like, why don't I ever go by that name if I like it so much? I like it better than Cassie. And my parents named me that so I could pick my own nickname out of it because there were lots of like Sandra, Sandy, Candy, whatever. But of course, then they called me Cassie, which takes away my option of choosing the nickname, which is fine. I want to start going by Cassandra. Like when I meet people, I want to introduce myself as Cassandra. And it feels weird to do, but I really like it. But I don't know if it's too late in life when everyone knows me as Cassie.
Okay, there's a high douchebag factor here, okay? Let me tell you why. I think Cassandra is a beautiful name.
Cassandra
is a beautiful name. The problem here is that when you tell people your name is Cassandra, when they get familiar with you and comfortable, they're going to dumb it down to Cassie anyway, which puts you in the position of having to correct them every single time, saying, no, I'm sorry, it's not Cassie, it's Cassandra.
Well, if I'm familiar enough with you and you shorten it to like Cass, I don't mind that at all. Like, I wouldn't want you guys to change what you call me. I'm talking about for like strangers when I meet them. So like I got with my lawyers, some new lawyers to do my will, and I had such trouble. I tried it out, and then I reverted to Cassie, and then Cass, and then the lawyer was really confused on what my name was. But that's what I'm talking about. So if people shorten it to Cass or Cassie, I don't mind. It's just out in the wild when I meet new people, I can be Cassandra. That's fine. I'll be Cassandra.
So tomorrow, we're going to be out in the wild because we are, I'm hosting a F cancer party for Rebecca, and she's going to have, there's going to be like 50 people there, friends and family, and then the Burt Show. So you're going to be meeting a lot of new people tomorrow. Would you introduce yourself as Cassandra?
I'd probably do Cassie in that capacity since it's like Burt Show related and it makes sense.
Most people know you that are going to be at that party, right?
But all my socials are Cassandra Young. Like that's just, that is who I am, and it feels natural, but then it feels unnatural. And I'm just wondering if it's too late in life to start going by your full name. It feels weird, but it feels right.
You're definitely going to have to get used to people calling you Cassandra. And you're going to have to keep correcting them over and over because I feel like they're not going to get the Cassandra part.
Oh, I'm okay with that. It's technically Cassandra, but I'm not picky.
Okay.
That's all right.
I don't think it's too late in life, but if you're going to do it, you got to commit to the bit. So I had a friend who really wanted to start going by her full name, Grace Ann. We know her by Gracie. She's Gracie to us. But one day she's like, you know, I really like my full name, Grace Ann. And so I was like, okay, this is important to you. I will start calling you Grace Ann. I'm going to change your name in my phone. I'm going to do all that. Well, then I'm the only one who starts doing it because every time someone calls her Gracie, she doesn't correct them. She starts calling herself Gracie, and I look like the stupid one. Yeah. I'm like, I'm out here calling you Grace Ann, and you're not doing all the work to change it for everybody else. So I would say if you are going to do it, you got to really commit to it and make sure that you are correcting people or like calling yourself Cassandra so that other people pick up on it.
It's annoying. I think I've told you this before. We had a news anchor in town here that I was doing some charity events. And the first time I met her, I said, hi, Suchita. And she corrected me and she said, it's Suchita. And I said, okay, that's fine. So it's Suchita. And she goes, no, it's Suchita. And I said, okay, Suchita. And she's like, no, it's Suchita. And I said, all right, so it's Suchita? And she's like, no. And I was saying the exact same thing. I'm like, I can't process this. So I'm just going to call you Chuck.
My brother also tried to switch names.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This was a high school. He was in high school, and all of a sudden, he didn't want to go by his middle name, Morgan. He wanted people to call him James,
okay,
his first name, which is, that's a big jump. Like, mm-hmm. Morgan, James, those are two very different. He even came to the family and said, mm-hmm. hey, I don't want to go by Morgan anymore. I want to go by James. Now, you know, this was the 90s. It's not today. Today, I would embrace my child, be like, hey, if that's what you want to do, sure. But we were like, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
We reject your wish.
Yeah. In the 90s, in the 80s, in the 90s, you could be like, that's stupid. No, we're not doing that. Today, oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. So you're trying to find your own identity? Absolutely. You want to go by James? Okay. But yeah, then we, he is Morgan.
I think I told you this also, my wacky aunt, because I come from a wacky family, man. Aunt Sally. Her name is Sally, right? She just woke up one morning and announced to the family that she wanted to be referred to as Ariel. What? That's it. She said it fit her better. Ariel.
All right.
It was supposed to be Aunt Ariel after that.
Did anybody listen?
No.
Okay.
Nobody. The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
If anybody knows where Kate Middleton is, it's probably not Meghan Markle, because she's too busy making her Instagram comeback. So the Duchess of Sussex just launched her new business venture, and she used Instagram to announce it. So on Thursday, she announced on Instagram with a new website for what appears to be a lifestyle brand that she is calling American Riviera Orchard by Meghan, the Duchess of Sussex, established 2024. The American Riviera is a nod to Santa Barbara, where she and Prince Harry live, apparently, for the last 100 years. That's been called the American Riviera, and their trademark application says the brand plans to sell tableware, drinkware, including decanters, kitchen linens, and edible treats such as jellies, jams, marmalades, and spreads. And also, the trademark will also seek approval for some cookbooks. So apparently, they are the experts in hosting a dinner party, which I guess is a new thing that we're learning about the Duke and Duchess, which I didn't even know they were still allowed to call themselves the Duke and Duchess.
They got the royal titles taken away, Her Royal Highness, His Royal Highness. That was what was pulled. So technically, they still have like the Duke and Duchess role. I get that right? Like royal expert?
Yeah. Nobody will show now because they're not official anymore. Why do you want to hang out with them? I can't do it.
Yeah. I'm not going to buy her cookbook. She's not a heroic royal highness.
Do you know, Kate? We've talked about Kate Middleton so much. She has permeated all of social media. I dreamt about this bish last night because she is everywhere.
Kate Middleton?
Yes.
Did she tell you where she is?
No, I didn't find her. I couldn't tell you where she is, but I kid you not. I actually dreamt about this woman because people are talking about her so much.
You think maybe she pulled a Chappelle and just left for Africa?
Oh, that's just... I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
Just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I just can't wait for her first interview after all this hubbub and for her to just be like, yes, the media swirl about where I was very strange. I was just in bed watching Gossip Girl. Yeah. It's really weird. Yeah, so I don't know why. I also, with Meghan Markle, I know that they're officially the Duke and Duchess. I don't know why it rubs me the wrong way that they're allowed to call themselves that. Because I feel like if you're going to bounce from the royal family, you shouldn't be able to capitalize on it. No?
I think you still get your title. They're just not working members of the royal family anymore. But what is weird to me is that it's the American Riviera by the Duchess of Sussex. Like, it feels very like I wouldn't go and be like, Wimbledon by American Cassie. You know what I mean? Like, it feels weird.
Right.
Yeah. Contradictory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right, and she's Canadian on top of it all.
She's a triple threat now. She got all the countries. All right, Gen Z says they want original stories to be produced for film and TV, not remakes, sequels, and reboots. This is a survey that just came out from a company called Tubi. They're saying that 74% of millennials and Gen Z want original content, not remakes, sequels, prequels, reboots, or anything connected to another franchise, which I can attest to because every time I see a reboot or a remake or a sequel that's coming out 30 years later, I roll my eyes.
This is such good news for writers and screenwriters and stuff like that. I mean, they're just saying what we already know is because we feel the same thing. Whenever we hear that there's a sequel or a reboot, we're like, man, all those people in Hollywood, all those really talented people in New York, and you're just going to go back to the same formula?
I know. At the very least, just copy somebody's book. Like, maybe not copy it, at least get the rights to it. I mean, there's so many good books out there that I've read that I'm like, this would be an incredible TV series or an incredible movie franchise, and yet we're getting Freaky Friday 2 20 years later. I love the Lohanissance that we're seeing with Lindsay Lohan and everything, but I want something new.
All right, since you are such an avid reader and you are very entrenched in book talk, what books would you like to see be turned into movies ASAP?
Well, there's one that it was supposed to be made into a TV show like ASAP, and we have no idea what happened to it. So Hulu took on the A Court of Thorns and Roses series by Sarah J. Maas, who is that author that we talk about all the time. She has 3 different fantasy series already out. 2 of them, well, 1 is completed, and then 2 she's still putting out books for. And I'm like, she's literally just doing all the heavy lifting. There's already an audience. There's already a world built around this. The people have fan casted. Like, we have done the work. We just need them to put the money and the work behind it.
So how, kind of like how they took the Handmaid's Tale book and turned that into a series, you'd see ACOTAR more as a, like a, like a high-level TV series rather than a movie?
100%. Like, right now, Hulu's taking on A Court of Thorns and Roses, and a lot of people want HBO behind it because we all saw, again, how successful Game of Thrones was, yep. Also a book series. And we want that budget. We want that production value. We want those high-level actors to see our little fairy books come to life.
I think Hulu can do that for you.
I think Hulu can, too. I wasn't a hater when Hulu came out, but a lot of people were like, please, can we get HBO because we want that Game of Thrones budget.
Yeah.
All right, Pierce Brosnan is pleading guilty in his Yellowstone case. I'll tell you if he'll do jail time for his national park faux pas on your next E-Buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Why do you have to be polite to somebody that is clearly being rude to you? Our intern, Messiah, is asking that very question right now, and it has everything to do with borrowing some money.
Yes. So recently, actually a few nights ago, I went to Korean barbecue with some of my coworkers for someone's birthday party, or birthday dinner, I should say. And typically, we always go to this place, and we know that we'll just all order one bill because we are in the serving industry. We know how it is if you have to split it, like, sure, more than 4. So we're like, okay, evenly split.
How many people are here now?
Let's say anywhere from like 9 to 12.
Okay, so a big party.
Big party. Yeah.
Do they even let you do that in some places?
What?
Like, if you have a party that big, don't they say, like, you're not allowed to split it up?
There's most of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically it's like 4, but because we go to this place so often as a group, the people there come to our job. So we kind of like,
okay,
you know, balance it out or whatever.
Trade-off.
Yeah, a trade-off, you should say. And this time around, I'm typically never the person that offers to pay on my card. I'm always the one that tell me how much it is, and I'll send it because I already know how it goes. But this time, I just wanted to go home, and I already saw that people were like having conversations in between, meaning like, what's your Cash App? What's this? I was like, okay, whatever. The bill was like $4.50. I was like, let me just take care of it. I want us to go. We have work tomorrow. Ready to wrap it up.
That, are you guys like, I am also like, once dinner is over and the check is there, I can't get out of a restaurant fast enough. It feels like it's forever. So I know where you're coming from. Like, let's just get this done so I can move on with my life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And also I feel like, I don't know what it is, but I tend to have like secondhand embarrassment in a sense. Like, you knew we were all eating. It's a group of 12. We should have had this all planned out before even sitting. So I do it. And certain people are sending me the money now that I paid, but I didn't announce, hey guys, it's so forth and so forth. He already explained that it was $450 to the table. I would think that we would all just evenly divide it and you guys would send it. But there's like 3 to 4 people that didn't send it, and I didn't know how to address it there and then. So I said, okay, whatever, like, I'll see them at work tomorrow, it's cool. The next day comes and they still don't do it. But for some reason, I'm also still having secondhand embarrassment for having to ask for my money back. Mm-hmm. It's like a whole cringe moment. So it's just like, how do you politely ask even when I'm not supposed to be asking back for my fund?
I love this concept of secondhand embarrassment, because that shouldn't be a thing.
It shouldn't, but it is. Uh-huh. And I, what you're saying, I think a majority of people go through, especially when it's involving money.
Yes.
For whatever reason, you feel like you look like the bad guy for asking for money. You are owed, when in actuality, they should feel like the bad guy because they're screwing you over by not paying you the money that they owe you in a timely manner. So I went through this recently, right? We did a girls' trip, and I put the VRBO on my credit card. Like, I booked it, it was on, and I let everybody know in a group text this is how much everybody owes. And there was one person, I gave her a month and she didn't. So I sent a reminder text, hey, blah, blah, blah. And there was something about an issue. Her Venmo was jacked up, whatever. And then we went a couple more weeks and it was getting close to the holidays. And I was like, I could really use this money. And so I hit her up again. And I was like, hey, if, and this is how I did it. I was like, hey, hope you're well. If your Venmo is still screwed up, feel free to send me a check. This is my address. And then a week later, I got the check in the mail. So what I would love for you to do right now is you need to like Venmo request these people who have not sent you money.
Yeah. Have you sent a request or did you just expect everyone to send it your way?
I just expected it. Like I said, even sending that request, I was like,
you shouldn't have to send a request.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to, but I think that
you have to though.
I would start with the Venmo request and then give them like 24 hours. And then if that doesn't work, Venmo has a remind feature and then you just smash that remind feature. And then if they still have the audacity to ignore the money they owe you, that's when you have a little showdown at work.
I just think you got to come out of trying to be polite and trying not to like bother them. They owe you money and you've got to ask for your money.
Yes. It speaks volumes of the person. I have gone through this too many times where you, it's just such a lack of respect. I mean, that's your hard earned money right there. So when you're letting somebody borrow, in your case, like this is a one dinner thing, but I've done it before with large bulks of money when they have specifically identified when they were going to have the money back to me and don't. And then I have to chase them for the money. I think that's like one of the most rude things you can do.
All right. Pull up.
And it speaks volumes about the person.
It absolutely does. It's frustrating.
Messiah, we're doing this right now.
Okay.
You're going to send those, send the request to the people. And then because you are in the phone screener room down the hall, if somebody hits you back with the money, all you got to do is just walk in the studio and we will know to check in and see like how it's going.
Oh, should we take like a bet on how long it's going to take?
Yeah, we totally can.
It is an art to it because we got to be stern enough that they know we're not playing, but it can't be rude because technically they still got us on the board.
Right. They've got leverage right now.
They still got leverage.
How much is your friendship worth?
Okay, it's done.
All right, good. Good for you. So this one shouldn't be all that uncomfortable. I do think your friend is being a little bit rude here, but the dinner.
Friends. Multiple people owe him the monies.
Yes.
But it just happened, right?
Yes.
I mean, if it was long term, they should respond here, and if not, then I really think you should be pissed.
Yes. 100%. We'll see.
Are they going to be getting up anytime soon?
Probably not anytime soon, but maybe like 9.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Let us
know.
All right.
The Bert Show.
Listener Christy here's got some drama going out on this weekend. She got caught shoplifting, but it wasn't on her. It was a friend that did it, and she's wondering if she should call the friend out. Should she just eat this? Hey, Christy.
Hey, thank you so much for helping me out with this, because I don't know what to do.
All right, so you were the one that was doing the shoplifting, or your friend was the one doing the shoplifting?
Yeah, so I was the one who got caught shoplifting, even though I didn't actually shoplift. My friend, ex-friend, I guess I should say, we went to the mall and there's a store that we like a lot and we both found some things. And, you know, when you're leaving the store, they do the thing where they check your receipt against your bags. And they opened up my handbag and I was like shocked to see some very expensive makeup in there with the tags on. And I was like freaking out because I had no idea how it got there. So they take us both to the back. They threatened me with arrest. Like a nightmare. It was horrifying. And I pleaded my case, and I guess like because I was so freaked out, I mean, I was like crying and like I really didn't know where it came from. They ended up letting us go, or letting me go, I guess. My friend was sort of there for what I thought was moral support. But they took a picture and they posted it in the back. So all the employees there are not allowed to let you back in. And this is a place that like I frequented. So it's just completely humiliating. And this friend like didn't really say much during this whole thing, you know? So fast forward a couple of days later, she called me to admit that she slid the makeup into my handbag, my purse, and planned to get it out without me ever knowing about it.
So she was using you as a mule and you had no idea.
I never thought of the word mule, but yes, exactly. And it was like, I was completely upset and horrified. And obviously, like, she's not my friend anymore. But here's the thing. Like, I love this store. And now I'm banned. So do I go back and tell them what really happened? Or make my ex-friend go with me to admit that she did this?
No, she's not going to do that.
She slid like goods into your purse without you knowing, trying to shoplift it out of the store. Yeah, I doubt she's going to go back and fall on the sword.
I don't know. Is there a way I can do it in a sneaky way and make it happen before she knows what's going on? Because her picture should be in the back.
I know.
I see. So you're going to bring her back to the store? Like, hey, let's go back shopping. Okay. So let's go back shopping. Okay.
If you could figure out a way to do it, I would do it. I mean, I don't see why not. You have nothing to lose at this point. They already got your picture up and you banned and you didn't do it. I would certainly go back there and tell them the truth. And I don't know how you get your friend there, but if you could figure out a way, I would.
They're probably not going to believe you, to be honest with you, right? I mean, they know that.
True.
Although you do have some leverage here. If they know you and you shop there quite a bit and you've paid every other time, then they may want you to keep going there. So you might have some leverage here and it might not be that uncomfortable. But just the integrity part of it, man, I would want that just shaken off of me.
Well, you could call them and ask them to check the security cameras. Like, if this really happened the way that your friend is describing it, just say, hey, I'm a loyal customer to y'all. I was so upset with what happened the other day because I legitimately didn't do this. I want to be able to shop with you guys again. Can you please check the security cameras and see that it was my friend doing it? Now, they may think that you were actually an accomplice in it. Like, this could end up backfiring. But I think at the very least, if you want to go back in the store, this would be the one way to prove your case.
I think it's a great idea to request the footage, right? And then also, I would call up the friend again and I would ask her, I would bring this up and I would ask her, hey, she's going to say no. Record the phone conversation and get her admitting on the phone that she did this, and then take that phone recording into. So it'd be like, I'm still shocked by what you told me the other day. You know, I can't believe that you put that stuff in my purse. Mm. I really want to go back to the store. Will you go in and tell them that you did this? And that way I can get unbanned and then get her reaction. No, you know, and then hopefully within that conversation, she admits that she's the one that did it. So now you have Abby's security footage. You have my phone conversation and you can take that in. And because obviously you don't want to be friends with her anymore. So it's not about salvaging this relationship or this friendship or lack thereof. And you could take that stuff in. Or you can just chalk it up, depending on what you have going on in your life. Is it worth your time to go through all this to have access to the store?
Yes, it would be.
Okay,
would be. But I didn't even think about the cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And recording a phone call with her is like, that's brilliant.
Well, do it this weekend and let us know if it goes well. This feels like something that you would see in a movie and it works flawlessly. But in real life, like, they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Do me a favor, though, Christy. Check whatever state you're in. Check the law. I know, like, for instance, in North Carolina, as long as one person knows that the phone call's being recorded, it's fine. So you would know it's recorded. In other states, both parties may need to be aware that it's being recorded. So just cover your bases on that. But that's what I would do.
You got some good options.
All right, Christy, let's check back with you on Monday and find out how it all went, okay?
Thank you so much for all the help and support.
All right, good luck. It's the Burt Show.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you gotta have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
The Bird Show.
St. Patrick's Day is Sunday. We've got a Bird Show tradition here that we keep doing every year that we all hate. I don't know why we keep doing it.
The people loves it, so we does it.
Every time it's on the schedule, we all say the same thing. Ah, damn it. Damn it, damn it. Well, here it is. So on St. Patrick's Day weekend every year, what we do is we call random bars, restaurants, places in Ireland. We try to put on our best Irish accent, and we see who can keep the person on the phone the longest. Who has the best Irish accent?
Now, a little behind the scenes, our producer Tommy was calling places to make sure that they were picking up, that these were, like, you know, the establishments that would answer the phone.
Please tell me you didn't get anybody to pick up.
Oh, man.
Everybody's off in Ireland. The whole country's off.
I'm in the big studio just doing my stuff, and I hear him in his studio calling people, and he called this one guy. And I'm not kidding you. This one Irish man, he was, like, just going over everything that was going to be happening at the bar.
That's the one you want.
Going over every special they had. Oh, he was so excited about the St. Paddy's Day celebration that they were going to... Tommy couldn't get off the phone with him. Oh,
so can we just declare Tommy the winner now and move on?
Please, let's do that.
Nope.
All right, so you can't use that one because we already know that that one is loaded.
No, I'm totally using that.
Oh, he was great. This dude was fantastic.
You won't know which one it'll be. I won't tell you.
Okay. All right, so how are we doing it this year? I see on the schedule that we're actually going up against each other this
year. Yes, we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to have Abby go up against Cassie and see who can go the longest. And then Mo's going to go up against Bert and see who can go the longest.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be an easy W for you, brother.
Yeah, man. Because Nelson Mandela will certainly, like, start to work his way into your Irish accent.
I got one speed with this accent game, okay? One speed.
All right, Abby versus Cassie first. Who would like to be for...
I say we
Abby
have...
is cringing so hard.
I've had anxiety about this every day since I heard you guys do it on the phone last year when I was listening in. And I'm Irish, like my ancestry is Irish. They are going to roll over in their graves when they hear my Irish accent. I'm so bad at it.
Okay, so I feel like if for Abby's anxiety levels, we need to just let her go first and get it out of the way.
Let me just do it.
Get it done.
Absolutely not. She should go last.
No.
I mean, you gotta extend this pain. Who are you?
She's not the only anxious one. My palms are sweating. I hate this segment. We've done it for years and I've never had to do it.
Yeah, I put you in the game this year.
I'm not a co-host. To do the uncomfortable ones.
You've got red hair, though, so you've been elected.
Did you guys see? I didn't even know about this till yesterday. There is a city, and I'm not exactly sure where it is, but we should definitely steal this idea. And for St. Patrick's Day every year, they do a ginger run.
Oh, that's Notre Dame. They do that.
Is it?
Yeah.
God, we should do that.
That would be fun. Yeah. I like that. There is a ginger, like, World Ginger Day, and they all gather together in, like, England and Scotland and Ireland.
All right, so who is ready for some really bad radio? Let's do this.
All right, Abby's going first, Tommy.
All right, we are calling Tiny Trains in Galway City. You know the song Galway Girl?
She played her fiddle in an Irish band. Yeah, go for it.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
I'm anxious for you.
They answered a few minutes ago.
Chinox and Peter speaking.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm visiting from out of town and I'm looking for a pub to spend St. Patrick's Day in. I was wondering if you guys would have live entertainment.
We won't do on Paddy's Day, no.
Do you also have lots of Irish beer? Can you tell me about the beers on tap?
We got a selection of craft beers like IPAs, pale ales, and then we have the usual Guinness, Beamish, Murphy Stout, Murphy Red, Coors Light, Heineken. We do a selection of gluten-free, non-alcoholic, wines, gins, whiskies. Good selection of whiskies, ciders.
Do you serve traditional Irish food?
We won't be serving food on St. Patrick's Day, but it'll be normal food service then during the week.
Do you have any specials for the week?
I don't know, because we do specials every day. So,
will you have a special for St. Patrick's Day?
Nope. No specials.
But every other day of the week you will?
Yeah. But that's just for the food.
Do you know if there's going to be like a parade or something going by, something we can watch while we're in the pub?
This should be a St. Patrick's Day. I don't know exactly the route.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay. A minute 14.
Wow.
It's very impressive.
I got a minute 21.
121.
Yeah, wow. I had a few seconds because I started the clock.
Okay, I do think that we have to add another rule, okay? Right. Not only is it about length, but once you stop your accent, I think your time is up.
I had one. Until the very end when she was like, okay, bye.
You lost it and then it came back.
I told you I'm bad at accents. I don't know how the Irish talk.
My time is not going to start.
I also think that there's like, you know, what's at play here also is that dudes that answer are going to be nicer to a woman than they are going to be to a dude.
Whatever. 100%. She got a minute 21.
Yes. All right.
Very impressed. So glad that's over.
God, when he started rattling off all the names of all the beers, you were in the money.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
Damn it.
All right, minute 21.
Well, all right, Cassie, you're up.
Cassandra.
The resident redhead.
Cassie told us earlier she wants to be referred to as Cassandra.
Oh, by strangers, not you guys.
Cassandra.
Listen, you've been here 13 years. You've never had to do it. This is your one and done. You got this.
All right, let's do it.
Cassie, you're from that side of the world. How do you say M-Finucane?
I have no idea.
Okay, M-Finucane. Ballyford in the county of Kerry. That is who we are calling now.
And I got your timer, Tommy.
Here we go. A few minutes ago.
Clearly the other bartender called him.
Hello? Hello? Hello, love, you getting on okay? Is anyone there?
I'll try it again.
Yeah.
You gonna try the same place?
How about we call the kicking donkey?
The kicking donkey.
What's it called?
The kicking donkey.
That sounds like a nasty sexual position.
Here we go. This is a Donnie home. This is where my friend Shane lives.
Don't we say this every year that we should record this
bit?
Every single year.
Well.
So how's your all day going? That's so much better.
Damn it. It just answered.
Right now, Abby is the leader. Big time.
By default.
So this one just answered. Amber just called him again just to make sure. All right, you dial 011. This is Mulligan's in Dublin.
Maybe word to spread what we're doing.
The whole country. They all have one big group chat?
Yes. Like, there's a stupid radio morning show.
It's definitely not that it's St. Patrick's Day weekend and there are pubs in Ireland. And they're, it's a Friday.
And they're busy.
It's not that at all.
This may be the end of the bit.
Yes.
Thank God.
Woo! This may be, Abby might be the only one that got to do it.
Abby's the winner!
Way to go, Abby.
Yay!
Congrats.
Can we at least call the one that I called yesterday?
Let it go.
I'm suing. I think we're done, Let Tommy. Go, I think we're done here.
I think we're done, Abby. Congratulations on your win.
Murphy! When he started saying Murphy, I was like, that's my ancestors coming through.
I was really kind of surprised you didn't go through with that. Yeah. Like, hey, my last name is Murphy also.
He's like, so is everybody else here.
Abby, congratulations on your big win. Amazing rookie season.
What a beautiful day to be Irish.
From the bottom of our hearts, we all want to thank you, right, for taking the one place in Ireland that is actually answering the phone today.
Wait, can you give me the name? Because obviously I'm going to Ireland. I want to go by and say
right.
hi.
That's
right. The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
He was caught breaking the law out in Yellowstone, and he thought he could get away with it, but he couldn't. Now Pierce Brosnan is pleading guilty in his Yellowstone hiking case. So if you forgot about this, he was photographed in an off-limits area out in Yellowstone. And this Instagram account called Torons, like morons of Yellowstone, posted it. And we're like, hey, this A-lister cannot get away with this. He's literally in an off-limits area. So he entered a not guilty plea. He's like, I didn't do that. I know there's photographic evidence of it, but I didn't do that. And obviously, there was evidence against him in this off-limits area. So now he's taken a plea deal. He's pleaded guilty to one charge. Another was dismissed. But if he'd been found guilty of the charges, he would have had to have spent 6 months in jail. And now he only has to pay fines, which he can do because he's Pierce Brosnan, which is around $1,540. So pocket change for him.
Why didn't you just plead guilty in the first place? You knew you were out of line anyway. You knew this is the way they were going. This is like Hollywood entitlement right here.
Well, I think celebrities do have a certain sense of entitlement, you know, thinking because they're surrounded by a lot of yes people and they get a lot of things. They get away with a lot of things. And I think he thought he was going to get away with this.
Does it sound harsh if I, somewhere inside of me, wish that he would have gotten attacked by a bear?
A little bit.
Okay, then I won't mention it.
I think one day in prison or jail would have been fine. I think.
Look, seriously, like I have seen this before. Like people go outside of the boundaries and then they end up getting mauled or hurt or falling through some kind of crack or something. And then they sue the park.
They sue.
Right?
Yeah, to me, I'm like, what if this is just some big conspiracy theory that maybe he's going to be in the next spinoff of the show Yellowstone? And really, this has just all been orchestrated. Like, really, his PR team is going to pay this big fine because now he's been associated with Yellowstone so many times. This is obviously just a PR stunt for him to be the next Dutton, right?
And this is going to be a storyline on the show. Forget about killing family members.
Yeah.
It's overstepping the boundaries at Yellowstone National Park that's really pissed the Duttons off.
Exactly. All right. NSYNC got to surprise fans with their first live performance since 2013 at Justin Timberlake's album release party on Wednesday. They performed four songs, including the new one they have together called Paradise. They performed Girlfriend, Bye Bye Bye, It's Gonna Be May, and their new song Paradise. And by the way, Justin's new album Everything I Thought I Was came out today, but Chris Kirkpatrick says this whole performance really is the next step to a full-on reunion tour.
Once you can wipe that stuff out and bring it back to just the five of us, you know, we get Paradise, and we get that song, and it's just basically an ode to the fans and to each other. You know, I can tell you that this has definitely been a step in the right NSYNC back together touring direction.
He and Justin Timberlake sound eerily similar when they're talking.
JC sounds like that too.
Does he really?
Yeah,
all I thought comes that was back JC to JC for you guys.
all roads lead to JC Shazay.
Right. And it's not even the number one JC we're talking about, which is Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, no debate there.
Joshua Scott Shazay, my ex-husband.
Oh my God. What if they're all just the same person, but we've been tricked into thinking that they're all like different members, except for Lance. I feel like Lance is the one different one.
I would be dumb enough to fall for that.
Did you just rattle off his middle name? You know his middle name?
I know everything. I get his birthday and my husband's birthday confused, genuinely.
What is J.C. Shazay's birthday?
Like August 7th, I think.
And where was he born?
What's his blood type?
I think he was born in Pennsylvania.
What's his social?
I'm pretty sure. 027-999-7654. But like my husband's birthday is August 5th. So for a long time, I had to put on my calendar, this is Chad's birthday, because I'd wish him happy birthday on JC Shazay's birthday.
Right.
That's, you know, your first love. Can you say?
Chad or JC?
JC.
That's really embarrassing for you. I love that.
My millennial self does not care.
Millie Bobby Brown is talking about her new ick. She says the one thing she can't stand to see a man do is hold an umbrella.
There's something about it that just feels really pathetic. I tried to get on board with it. I did try.
And she said the latest ick that she had with her husband, or her, not her husband, her soon-to-be husband, her fiance, was when he got a nosebleed.
And you know what? I have a new one. This morning, I was on a flight with my fiance, and he got a nosebleed, and I got the ick. One, because he just got a nosebleed. He's doing an 11. I'm like, calm down. Two, he's acting as if it's painful. And I'm like, it's not painful though. It's giving ick. And that's my new one.
So just going back to the umbrella one, men are allowed to shield themselves from the rain.
No, they got
to
take it like a man.
You just want every man to be wet?
What are
you,
be dry.
You afraid of water or something?
I actually agree with her take. I hate using an umbrella. I would rather just put my hoodie thing up or not do anything at all. But using an umbrella as a man just feels like it takes away my masculinity. I swear to you,
I hate it.
Oh,
you got that one, bro. I'm trying to stay dry over here.
Let's add on raincoats to that, too. You don't need a raincoat. Take it like a man. He signed up to be on a reality show all about getting married. So why did he say no at the altar? We'll talk about the most shocking moment from Love is Blind Season 6 on your next eBuzz.
The Bird Show.
Got to get our listener Samantha on here in just a couple of seconds, because she does not, I mean, she hates the bridesmaid dress that she's supposed to wear in her brother's wedding, which is going to hit close to home because Abby's been talking about this now for weeks.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, just the whole bridesmaid hubbub is so much. It's so much money. It's so much commitment. And you're going to wear the dress, and sometimes the dress doesn't look good on you, and then you got to be in all the pictures. It takes a toll on you for sure.
I mean, you literally were on here last week. If you didn't hear it, I mean, Abby was sort of tearing up and crying that she didn't feel like she looked good in this wedding dress, and it was going to take away from the focus of the day for you. I mean, it's a really stressful thing.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't sort of tearing up. I was having a mental breakdown. We can say that.
I was trying to be kind.
I can own it. I can say that I was having a tough moment. It's hard putting on a dress that you bought a long time ago, because we got the instructions to get this dress a while back, and I wanted to make sure I got it. It was big on me a year ago. 'Twas not big on me when I put it on a couple weeks ago. And I looked in the mirror and I was like, who is this person and how did I get here? And I knew that it was going to be a distraction to me the entire day of the wedding, because I was going to feel really self-conscious.
Samantha, good morning. You're on the Bird Show. Are you going through the same type thing with a bridesmaid dress, or you just hate the dress, period?
Good morning. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like you said, my brother's getting married and his fiance and him live out of state, so I don't know her well. I mean, I've actually only met her once before in person, and we're just very different. So I looked at this bridesmaid dress. I got the link the other day, and there's no way that I'm wearing it. It's just way too sexy and inappropriate. And not only, you know, do I not want to wear it, it's, they're getting married in our church. So it's just not appropriate for a church wedding. And I don't know how to handle it. I need your help. I don't know. Do I like go straight to my brother? Do I go straight to her? And like, how do I say that without offending anyone?
I think for me to be able to give my two cents on this, I need to know what the dress looks like. Like, when you say it's sexy, is it just too sexy for you? Or is it showing a lot of skin, a lot of boobage? What's going on?
I mean, to call it a dress feels like an overstatement. You know, it's got a slit, it's low, you know, it just shows cleavage, and it's got a slit up the leg. Like, I never in a church. No, I don't know how anyone could wear that in a church. I just, it's so inappropriate.
Hmm. For me, I guess I'm listening to the type of dress and I'm picturing the low cut. And for me, as someone who has a bigger chest, that would make me really insecure, especially in front of family. Like, you don't want your tatas out while, you know, your Uncle Jim is there. My advice to you is, you know, if you really got to take into consideration how this is going to affect your relationship with your brother and your, you know, your sister-in-law. If there's a way for you to get the dress altered to where it makes you feel more comfortable, to where you can cover up the chest area a little bit, to where you can adjust the slit a little bit more, I would go that route before you totally just bounce from this wedding.
This one's a real hot potato here, because you're making a statement to the bride also. You're saying, like, mm-hmm. I can't believe you're putting us in these sexy dresses in church, which isn't just an aesthetic thing. Now you're making sort of a moral or value opinion also, which is really going to set her off.
Who sent you the link to the dress? Was it your brother or was it the bride?
No, it was the bride.
Then you need to communicate with the bride, okay? So,
and I also, yeah, I mean, I don't hate the altercation, the like altering it idea, but then I show up the day of and it's obvious my dress is different. And if I don't tell her, like, is that really going to offend her? I don't. Yeah.
Okay. So this is because, you know, the style is objective and everybody in one person's sexy is another person's modest. Like it's all your own perspective on fashion. Right. So I would hit her back and be like, this dress is gorgeous, but I know I'm not going to be comfortable wearing it. Or this dress is beautiful. I'd be like, this dress is beautiful, but I'm not going to feel comfortable with my body wearing it. Are there any alternatives, or can we discuss certain alterations? So I feel better about wearing the dress.
This is tricky, man.
It's very tricky.
This is so tricky.
I feel like she would be offended.
Yes, 1-855-BIRCHO. I think this is where a nicely placed lie would go a very long way. Because if you make this a moral or a value thing, it's going to be way more explosive. You agree?
I think if you make it a moral thing, for sure, like if you say, we're going to wear this in a church, hell nah, then she's going to feel very judged by it. But I don't. To me, there's just nothing wrong with communicating that you might feel a little bit insecure showing more skin than you're used to. And I think if you have a face-to-face conversation with your future sister-in-law about that, I think she would understand that more so than a judgment that you're making about her style choice.
Yeah, I mean, that all makes sense. Maybe I could, like, FaceTime her or something.
Here is Jenna, who wants to help you out. Good morning, Jenna. We got ourselves a situation here where Samantha feels like the bridesmaid dress is way too sexy, especially for a church wedding. What do you think?
I understand communicating with the bride, but I feel like if she took a picture of herself in the dress and sent that to her brother, I feel like if it's really that sexy, the brother is not going to want to see his sister in this scandalous dress on his wedding day.
That's the thing, though. It's so subjective. You know, like he might take a look at it and go, not enough cleavage, sis.
I don't think any brother ever has said that at any point in time.
Show more boobs, sis.
I can say definitively, those words have never crossed my brother's lips.
I am confident on this one.
Yeah, y'all have never been to Alabama, clearly.
All right, Samantha, so maybe that's a good idea, right? I'm not exactly sure. Any final, like, advice for her?
I think you do. You need to communicate with the bride. You need to communicate with her now, because the longer you wait, the worse it's going to be, because then you have less time and there's weddings have a lot of moving parts. So I would communicate with her, and I mean, maybe this is a texting tutor we can do with the bride.
I am. Maybe so. Yeah.
As far as finding the right words to text her to be like, yeah, I'm not wearing your slut dress.
That'll go over well.
You think?
Samantha, would you be into that? I mean, we could help you text your future sister-in-law and try to work it out between the two of you guys.
Yeah, I would love any help. Yeah, definitely.
Right. We'll put this one on the books this weekend. Thanks, Samantha. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
For the longest time, I couldn't figure it out. While driving around Atlanta, why those that are on bikes are so angry. a quick, like short fuse when it comes to those. You guys ever notice this?
No.
Like you get too close to a bicyclist or at some points I even thought like they were overreactionary when I'm watching them like yell at motorists, right? Now that I'm on my bike more around Atlanta, I totally get it.
Oh, for sure.
100% get it.
There are a lot of videos of like bikers cursing people out, so you're onto something.
So I don't know if it's Atlanta is different than other cities because I've just picked up this whole biking thing, but it really feels to me like if you're on a bike, the only space you have is the gutter.
Yeah.
It's the gutter and it's about 2 inches. And if there's any debris in the way, you're supposed to be able to, like, I think legally come out of the bike lane and cars are supposed to go around you and stuff. But man, I will tell you over the course of the last couple of weeks that I have almost been hit by cars 3, 4, maybe 5 times.
Wow.
So I want to say I apologize. I think I took this stance years ago.
You did.
That I'm like, what are you guys so stressed about, man? What are y'all stressed? I get it now. I still don't understand why you're getting all like dressed up like like you're riding the Tour de France. I mean, t-shirt and bike's just fine. But man, I tell you what, there is just not a lot of room on the roads for bicyclists.
And I mean, I know we're in a big city, so of course you're going to have traffic issues, right? But of all the cities I've experienced, I feel like I can say unequivocally, hands down, Atlanta has some of the most selfish drivers known to man. Everybody's in their own world. They get to do whatever they want. Doesn't matter how it affects anybody. I mean, every single day, you could be blocking 3 lanes of traffic because heaven forbid mm-hmm. you miss your turn or you're cutting people off. This city, like, it's a city of hospitality until people get behind the wheel.
It's the truth, man.
And everybody is, they're in it for themselves. And we just have a city full of incredibly selfish drivers.
Somebody tried to explain it to me 1 year, and I don't know if this theory works, but they used to say this about D.C. also when I lived up there, is that you have so many people living in the city that aren't from that city. Right. So they learned how to drive in different cities, and every city really does have its own style. You're in New York, it's very different.
Absolutely.
Than driving in like Atlanta. So we have so many different people from different areas driving that for whatever reason, it doesn't match up. I don't know if I buy all that.
I don't know if I buy all that either, but no, I can understand how bikers have a chip on their shoulder because, yeah. I mean, once your life flashes before your eyes so many times, you're going to have a short fuse.
I apologize. I took a hard stand on that years ago without being on a bike enough, and now there is not enough room for you bicyclists. That's all. All right, Cassie and Abby, you got like a really cool event coming up and you're thinking that people read and they want to join you.
Yes, it's super exciting. It's our first ever Burt Show Book Club meetup. We're talking about Fourth Wing and Iron Flame by Rebecca Yarros. It's on the New York Times bestseller list. It's fantasy and it's going to be a ton of fun. Even if you didn't finish the books, you can come hang out with us on Sunday from 2 to 4 at Boxwood Social Hall.
I'm so pumped for this. So what got me back into reading is just having other people get excited about a story. I grew up being a reader, but I didn't get back into reading until things started taking off on Book Talk, and it felt like everybody was talking about this one series, A Court of Thorns and Roses or Throne of Glass or the Crescent City series. I'm like, I want to be in with the girlies. The girlies seem like they're having a really good time. And so it's just so much more fun when you get to experience something on your own, like reading or listening to an audiobook, and then getting to join a group of people who are excited about the same thing, and we can gossip about these characters like they're real people.
So it's going to be a super casual event. You don't have to dress up. It's at Marietta Square at Boxwood Social Hall. They do private and public events. There's going to be pizza from Marietta Pizza Company there. They're going to be selling slices. They're going to have a couple of goodies from the Reading Attic, which is also on the square. But make sure you RSVP at thebertshow.com so we know that you're coming, but it's free to attend.
Let me ask the ladies something. What is the most amount of money you have ever had to spend to be a bridesmaid? Because I was just reading an article that the amount that this woman is supposed to pay is ridiculous. And she's having second thoughts about going to the wedding, maybe having to tell one of her best friends, like, I got to make up a lie because there's just no way I can afford this amount.
If I had to put a number to it, probably around $2,500. 3,000.
Because wow. You have to factor in, so you get a gift for the bridal shower, mm-hmm. you have the bachelorette party, and if that is like an out of town deal, that's a significant amount of money.
The bachelorette party really is like the biggest expense.
I think so for sure. And then you have a wedding gift that you're supposed to get. Then you have your dress, your shoes. Sometimes the bride, like, I covered hair and makeup for my girls, but a lot of times you have to take care of your own hair and makeup. So now you got hair and makeup. And yeah, dude, it adds up. I would guess around, like, for Abby, like around $2,000.
Yeah. How about you, Kath?
Yeah, probably $2,000.
$2,000. What would be the amount that you would say, you know what, I just got to bounce from this wedding. Even though I'm a bridesmaid, it's going to cost me too much. I can't do it.
I think it just depends if it feels unreasonable to me. Like, I think $2,500 is a lot of money, but I didn't feel like any of the costs were unreasonable or outlandish. I was like, oh, this is just the norm.
Okay, let's play this out. $2,500, you've already said you're going to do. $4,000.
It depends. Like, is this like some big blowout wedding? Like, is this going to be, is this like one of my like more influential friends where she's on social media and you have to get a more expensive dress and she wants to go to St. Bart's for her bachelorette? That, I guess, would be the norm for her. And I guess I would have to step up to have a little bit more money.
$5,000?
$5,000hurts a lot.
You guys?
I think five would be my max.
Yeah, for a best friend. But I think at that point, I would just start sitting. I would just not go on the bachelorette party. I'd be like, I'm sorry, I can't make those dates. And I would save the cash that way.
So this woman is saying that she is about to create an elaborate lie for her friend because it's going to cost her $8,000.
Oh, my God.
Nope.
To be a bridesmaid. Nope. So she says that she and the bride are like best friends. They're 32 years old. They've known each other since elementary school. So it was just kind of an automatic given that she was going to be in the wedding. Well, it's in the fiance's hometown, which I guess is in like this far north Scandinavian town. Here's the kicker, is the ceremony was changed from 2025 to 2024, which is just 4 months away.
Oh, my God.
Right? So between the flight, she says, the hotel, renting a car, bridesmaid dress, full traditional outfit required to be worn for some of the events, pet boarding she's going to have to do also, general incidentals. She says she's looking at a minimum of $8,000.
Oh, that totally makes sense. I mean, it's ridiculous, but if somebody's doing a destination wedding, then you have to also factor those expenses in as well.
So to complicate things, she could have the money. She does have the money, but it has been earmarked for her and her husband to take this dream 3-week vacation to Japan together that's already on the books. So she could eliminate that trip and she could go and support her friend that day, or she should just create a lie for the friend and continue to go to Japan. What do you do?
Mm-hmm. I lie. I don't even know that I would lie.
Yeah.
I think my marriage is most important. And if it's a dream vacation we've been building towards, I'm not going to take that away from my husband. And I'm going to tell my friend, like, hey, I'd love to support you in any way I can. I just can't foot this bill. I'm so sorry.
That's not even a lie.
No, but let me know what I can do from here. I'm all in. I just can't be all in.
She said that she's going to like make up some elaborate lie because if she tells her friend that, look, I got the money, but I'm spending it on me and my husband to go to Japan, that the friend will say, then you can't be in my wedding. Not only can you not be in my wedding, but we can't be friends anymore.
Oh, man. Because I mean, the minute she starts posting photos of her vacation to Japan, the friend's going to be like livid.
Right.
Even though she doesn't really have an opportunity, like she doesn't really have a leg to stand on.
Right. Mm-mm. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.